This is KBMF Program Director Sean Amon with more KBMF footnotes from the Copper Camp Radio Audiobook. First, I'd like to give a shout out to all of our readers that volunteered to come in. We started off with me reading three episodes of the book, basically the introduction of the book. After that, we were joined by Butch Gerbrandt for Assaying the Load chapter, Gretchen Geller for Shacks, Shanties, and Mansions, Dr. Timothy Dreary for The Forgotten Man, Matea for the first half of Rulers of the Roost, John Conwin for the second half of Rulers of the Roost, Pastor Tim for The Brickbats of Election Day, and The Whittler with the first half of Butte Blows Its Top. We haven't had a footnotes since The Forgotten Man, so I want to talk a little bit about what we've learned since. In Rulers of the Roost, Matea read mostly about two Copper Kings, Marcus Daly and William H. Clark. In the book, Daly and Clark were said to be friends at first, but eventually were torn apart by insults and battled publicly for political offices. One of those public battles was Clark backing Helena for the state capitol versus Daly wanting the city of Anaconda to be named capital. Afterward, Daly gave money and public support for Clark's opposition for political seats, including one for the U.S. Senate. Daly was the first of the Copper Kings to die. It was almost like he knew something bad was on the horizon as he left for the East Coast, then never returned. For listeners that aren't familiar with Daly and Clark, there are still landmarks around Butte of them. There's a large statue of Daly up at Montana Tech, and one of Clark's mansions still sits on Granite Street, not far from the county courthouse. John Conwin read about F. Augustus Hines, the youngest of the Copper Kings. We learned that he was paid to sell his claims on the hill, then moved to New York, where he lost a lot of money investing, then died of cirrhosis. Pastor Tim did a great job reading one of the toughest chapters in the book, The Brickbats of Election Day. This is another place in the book where the stories are difficult to believe. There was a gunfight at the ballot boxes, and people were bribed to vote a certain way. There was a story of a boxing match being interrupted for political poking and turning into a near riot. The Whittler took on Butte Blows Its Top, which might sound like it's about Butte becoming a very popular place, which it kind of was. It's really about a riot, dynamiting buildings, and murder. The first half of the chapter is mostly about a large fight that occurred between Montana and Main Streets on West Broadway Street. This is also known as the APA riot. The APA was the American Protective Association, which was against a lot of things that Butte is and was. They were anti-Irish, anti-Catholic, anti-Union, and anti-immigrant. The riot occurred on the 4th of July, and a militia was called in from Helena to try to stop it. People in Butte were unhappy with the APA's existence, and they eventually died out. The Copper Camp Radio audiobook has more than 20 people signed up to read right now, and we're about a quarter of the way through the book. For me, it's been really interesting hearing people that live here now read about people and events from 100 years ago. We have a special guest reader next week to tackle some of the labor history in the second half of Butte Blows Its Top. After that, we'll hear the story of one of the greatest pranks ever pulled in Butte. As always, I have to remind everyone that some of this book might be fiction or embellished. Butte people have always been a little too good at telling a story. Thanks, everybody, for following along, and make sure to tune in during your local news hour at 5 p.m. on Mondays to catch the radio audiobook of Copper Camp.